No.
Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and get started on the night, and then we'll pray and we'll pray into the lesson on tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, Yah, we glorify you, and we give you all the praise for who you are. We just thank you for your word. We just love you for all the things that you do in our lives. We put our complete trust in you. And we just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. We need your wisdom every day. And we bless you in the name of Yahushua, our Savior, looking forward to his return. In his name we do pray. Amen. All righty. I want to teach on something that had Spirit of Yah had led me to write this morning after the encounter that I had on yesterday. And one of the things that I want to encourage you to do is just to make sure that what we're about to discuss, just make sure that you're being led by the Spirit of Yah, because when as He leads you to do these things, it's going to be a very thin line between what can be considered offensive and at the same time it can be something that's not Yah if we're not led by the Spirit. That's why I said that earlier, because it's a thin line. You will find some people that will do it or that will do certain things, and their total motivation is based upon their own will. But then it's a weird thing, and the reason why I'm saying it's weird is because when Yah is using me to do it, it's strange, because it goes against what is traditional, and you hear me say that even in the things that I had written today. When you hear people talk about, especially from a traditional standpoint, when you hear people talk about Christ, the disciples, there are things that the church has done as far as painting a picture of him that will give you the impression that our Savior was a weak individual. And so Christians take on that mentality based upon that. So we allow people to treat us, to treat us a certain way, and because of these misconceptions as far as our Savior is concerned. You read a lot of scriptures, or you hear people say a lot of things from perspective of scripture, where it says turn the other cheek and different things like that. There are things in scripture whereby certain things does have a rightful perspective to it, but it depends on the circumstance. So in order to put a finger on it, it is very important, it's vitally important to be led by Yah, because it is a very dangerous thing. Now, what I mean by dangerous, I'm talking from the perspective of us being out of the will of Yah. We've come to the understanding that we don't have to be afraid of what man can do to us, but we're to be afraid of who can do things to us from a perspective of the physical body and also the spirit. Okay, and that's my main concern. And so, in sharing this information with you, I don't want you to take it to take it and go from this lesson with the mindset that you're gonna deal with people in the method by which we discuss without having a full understanding. You have to make sure that you understand it, that you're being led by the Spirit of Yahweh and it's being done. Okay, so I'll just go ahead and start out by just quoting the topic here or the subject matter. Truth shouldn't offend those of the household of faith. That's a challenging statement even in itself. Because what is vitally important for us to understand is that anytime truth is told and we are offended from that truth, then it is a gauge to let us know that something is wrong with our spirit. It's a gauge to allow us to know that something is wrong with our mental state. Truth shouldn't offend us. We'll start in John. Spirit of God just leading me there. I believe it's John chapter 8, I believe. Yeah, John chapter 8 says this now. John chapter 8, verse 32. I'm just going to read verse 32 just to confirm what I just said, okay? John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, there are two words that I want to deal with this one verse. First of all, when you look at verse 32, it says that ye shall know. We need to understand what the word know is. Okay? Ye shall know the truth. Now, as we look at it from the definition meaning of the word know, it means obviously to understand. Okay? That is one of the main perspective. Anytime you hear words in the scripture that says no or hear, see means perceive, perception. It goes beyond the physical. Hear means it goes beyond what you actually hear, because a lot of people can hear things. I've been in church settings where people have constantly been saying amen, amen. They've been constantly saying that word, but yet they didn't understand a thing. Okay? So just because we hear it doesn't mean that we understand. And that's why you hear me a lot of time as I'm talking, I may pause, or as I'm teaching, I may pause and say, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" I say that quite a bit. I listen to, tapes and old tapes and things like that. I'm always saying, "You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?" Because that's vitally important. So the scripture says in John 8:32 says, "And ye shall understand the truth." The truth can be revealed, but it has to be understood. You can understand, ye shall understand the truth. Now, when you look at the word truth, it goes back to what is true. When we, as the scripture says, understand something to be true, then it says, and that truth will make us free. Now the word make means deliver us. So if truth is revealed to me and I understand it, now the scripture says that you can't be a hearer of the word and not a doer only. Because those who hear it and don't apply it, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. We walk in deception. So as we look at verse 32, it says, ye shall understand the truth. You shall understand what is true. And that is true now will deliver us and make us free. Because as the scriptures, a lot of scriptures come to mind, Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." He rejects us as being priests of the kingdom, according to Exodus chapter 19. But when you look at the concept that's associated with it, to understand the truth and to put that truth into action is what makes us free. It delivers us, okay? It makes us free, okay? In other words, the truth delivers us, okay? Truth delivers us. Understanding the truth brings deliverance, okay? It makes us free. It delivers us. It makes us whole. It is a word that is associated with salvation. Salvation, you know, going back to salvation, it deals with it from a perspective of victory. So when we understand the truth, okay, when we understand that is true, then it delivers us to freedom, salvation, wholeness, everything that's associated, you know, with salvation, freedom, okay? So now we go back to the subject matter itself, or you know, the title itself. Truth shouldn't offend us that are in the household of faith. In other words, anytime truth is revealed, then if I am someone who follows Yah, then truth should cause me to embrace it, not cause me to be offended by it. Okay? Now that's something that we probably all can work on in one facet or another, but this is a lesson tonight to challenge us to come up to where Yah wants us to be as far as his household of faith. So what I mean by the household of faith, I'm talking about the believer in the Messiah, the believer in the Mashiach, the followers of Yahushua. Okay? We shall know, and ye shall know, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It delivers you. Truth is always sent forth to deliver from bondage. So anything that has us bound, when truth is approached in the matter, it always brings about freedom. It always brings about victory. It always brings about wholeness. On the other hand, if truth is rejected, then it always brings about the opposite of bondage. The opposite of freedom, bondage. You know, all the things that's associated with not receiving it. So from that perspective, I have to pound the towel of this in our heads. Again, truth shouldn't offend those of the household of faith. Okay, truth should never offend you. Truth should never offend me. Now I admit the only time I get a little bit, you know, out of whack is, you know, I always make a statement. You know, it's a cliche that I use, but in reality, it doesn't bother me as much as I come across as saying, you know, as you're about to hear me say it. I said, one thing I can't stand for a person to lie. You know. Specifically on me. I can't stand for a person accusing me of something that I know that's not true. But at the same time, I don't allow that to get me off focus on what Yah is talking to do. It's just something that I don't care much for, because my purpose is always to try to either reveal truth or to try to line up with truth, whether it's, you know, whether it's speaking to me or not. Truth is just truth. And so to say that to each one of you, anytime truth is revealed to you and it offends you, then or offends me, then that is something that is a gauge to let us know that there's something not right about us in our spirit. Truth should never offend us. Okay. Now, with that understanding, now I was in I went about my mechanic's shop, and the mechanic Ambrose, you know, he's a wonderful brother. He always looked out for me. You know, matter of fact, what really got him to really kind of start, you know, we really got kind of close in our relationship. I remember one time he was going to sell a car, and when I came by, I saw the car and I liked it, and at the time I think I was kind of looking for another car. And so I told him, I was like, how much you want for the car? And he gave me a price that I didn't really like. And I was like, no, I don't want to pay that much for it. And he was like, well, he said, that's okay. He said, people have been looking at that, you know, looking at that car. He said, as a matter of fact, I've had so many people stop by and said that they wanted to buy it. And a few people have even said that they were coming back to purchase the car, as the money was coming back to purchase the car for the price that I had asked for. And so when he said that, the Spirit of Yah came upon me, and again, this is in the vein of about topic. The Spirit of Yah came upon me, and I said to him, I said, that's my car. So I said, so that's my car. He looked at me and laughed and said, well, if it's yours, you better have the money for the day it's gone. He said, because everybody is looking to buy it. And when we were standing there talking, an individual pulled up, got out, went and looked at the car, and got the keys, and drove it up the street, and came back and said, he's going to go get his money and come back and buy it. And so he was looking at me, he was like, you know, Brother Lon, man, I'm telling you, man, people love this car, they're going to buy it. The man, that's my car. So that's my car. I told the guy who said he was going to get his money, it was mine. Well, long story short, after about a month, I went up to the shop and he said, listen, he said, man, he said, ever since you said that was your car, he said, countless people have looked at it, but I cannot sell it. He said they will all tell me that they love it, it drives good. I drove it and everything. You know, be like, it drives good and everything. He said, but it says something about it. He said, here's what you do. He said, just take the key and pay me what you want to pay me and pay me however way you want to pay me. He said, because I can't sell this car because you said it's yours. And so I looked at him and laughed, and I kind of felt bad because I said it, but it really wasn't a big deal with me, but the Spirit of Yah came upon me to say it, because Yah is convincing him, okay? And so after he said it, I felt really bad, and I looked at him, I said, my brother, I tell you what, I said, I released that car. And it's about a month. Been trying to sell it for a month. I said, brother, I released that car. And he looked at me and just kind of laughed. I said, I'm serious. I released the car. He sold it that day. Now, I said all that to say this. Now, as I was up at his shop, because I wanted you to, those of you who don't know my mechanic, Ambrose, we just been had a close relationship ever since. And so I'm there. As I'm there, we're having a discussion about a lot of things. We're talking about diet. We're talking about scriptures. We're talking about a lot of things. Just a different subject matter. But the way that my mind works, anytime you're dealing with a subject matter, this Rolodex of scriptures that start to turn. And I'm seeing all these different scriptures, and so in the whole subject matter, I'm addressing things according to the scripture. Well, this individual had said that he went to the doctor, and said the doctor was an Indian lady, and she had recommended that he eat more organ type of foods, like liver and stuff like that. For certain issues that were going on with his physical body. But then one thing that alarmed me, he said that she told him that he needed to eat blood. And so when he said that, I said, man, that goes against the scripture. I said, what she's telling you to do is paganism practice. I said, man, we're forbidden to eat blood. Mankind's forbidden to eat blood. I said, that's why scripture taught our nation how to slaughter animals so that the blood would drain properly and it would keep away stress from the animal. I said, so, he's like, but I know, but what she was talking about is certain things that's in blood that would, he said, and from him eating the blood, it would build up his blood. That's what he said. That she said, I said, bro, I don't care what she said. I'm telling you what the scripture says. We can't consume blood. There's nothing good going to come out of you consuming blood because it goes against the direct commandment of Yah. money can do a lot of things until it comes in direct conflict with Yah. Then money is no good at all. Okay? And so And so I noticed that as I shared the things of Yah, now this guy's coming across like he's a brother, but I noticed as I'm sharing the things of Yah, the more I share or whenever I would share the scripture, he came across like an agitator. And so Yah started to show me, he's like, okay, there's something going on here, and I'm going to continue to use you to expose it. I'm just telling you what Yah is saying without him saying it to me. He's leading me. Now, you remember how I talk about if he leads, you remember how the sheep dog is behind the sheep, so the sheep don't know where to go, where they're going. Well, I'm on the other side of the story now, so I'm telling you where Yah is taking me. He was taking me yesterday, but me not knowing this is what he's doing. But I'm picking up in the spirit. Okay, that's something spirit, mental state. I'm picking up this guy's mental state. I'm like, there's something going on with this guy. He's coming across one way, but in reality, there's something else. So we're on the meat for a while, and so he brings up Peter in the meat about how he told Peter to rise up and eat. And I said, well, yeah, that's in reference to the Gentiles. He said, you know, he started bringing up about him being in seminary. And so, you know, you get a lot of preachers who use seminary and things because they've gone and gotten degrees that they trump your level of understanding. Well, the scripture says that the religious folk during this time, your scholars and all this, took note that the disciples had been with Yahushua. You know, I'll take being with the Spirit of God any day over a seminary. Okay? And so, long story short, as we had these discussions, I'm just reading here. I was fascinated by an encounter that I had with an individual. At first, it appeared that we were brethren in Christ, but I noticed that every time I quoted the scripture that's factual reference to our subject matter, he became very agitated, even to the point that he stated that traditional cliche. You, what I'm about to read to you, you will hear a lot of Christians will say this to you. As we come to understand the truth, and when you stand on the truth, then because they take this truth of truth, they're going to attack you from a spiritual perspective. Okay? So the individual ends up saying this. It's not that you're not telling the truth. It's the spirit behind it. In other words, you're telling the truth, but since I'm being offended by it, there's something wrong with your spirit. You have to understand that these days that we're living in, when you speak truth, then people will say there's something wrong with you. So it's like, I don't have any problem with the truth that you're saying, but it's something wrong with your spirit because as a Christian, I even said I'm not one. Because I'm killing doctrine now. I'm killing all the traditions that could be used to discredit the Most High God in His Word, His Son, and the Spirit. So as he's saying these different things, I'm like, okay, I see this religious jargon that's coming forth here, and I gotta break down everything that he's trying to build up a wall to protect himself. You know, there's a cliche or a statement that's used is called the straw man fallacy. And what the straw man fallacy is, it is when someone uses your comment or answer to an issue and force you to defend it in order to keep you from exposing them. Here's what I mean by straw man fallacy. If you say, if you say that today was a nice day, then what they'll turn around and say is, so are you saying that this is the only day that's a nice day because it's sunny outside? You're going to say that a rainy day is not a nice day because a rainy day, it waters the grass, it waters plants, you know, it gives water to lakes and things like that. You know, and so for you to say that this is the only day that's a nice day, then there's something wrong with you. And you start defending yourself. No. I was just talking about today. Yeah, I do agree with you that a rainy day can be a nice day because of the benefits that the earth, you know, has from the rain and things like that. And they'll get you totally off of you focusing on today just being a nice day by making you defend that statement by bringing up all the other things to discredit the statement that you just made. Christians would do that in a minute. So when you speak the truth, then the first thing they'll try to do is attack you by saying, yeah, you're telling the truth, but there's something wrong with your spirit. And they say that because they now have become offended from the truth that's been spoken. So my gauge was from that perspective, I immediately said, well, if you're offended or if you're saying that from a perspective of something being wrong with my spirit, you wouldn't have liked Yehoshua, you wouldn't have liked Philip, and you wouldn't have liked Stephen. Because all of them said things and spoke truth that offended those who did not want to walk in that truth. See, here's the thing about truth. Truth will do one of two things. Truth will either set you free, or truth will offend you. Truth will offend you and cause issues. One of two things. Truth will make you free. Truth will deliver you. Truth should deliver you. Or truth will sit you back. Truth will frustrate you. Truth will make you angry. It's going to do one of two things. And so this was going on with this brother. And as I began to see the thing, the Spirit of Yah just came up on me. Every word that he said, I quoted scriptures, and he got angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier. And every word that I said, to the point to where he wanted to fight me, but he thought that was a road that he didn't want to go down either. So all he could say was, you know what, I'm just going to leave. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so he began to say this thing, and I'm going to quote it again, and then we'll move on as far as the lessons to turn out. I'm going to give you understanding why. He says, it's not that you are not telling the truth. It's the spirit behind that. When someone says that to you from a perspective of you revealing truth, then that is an individual that just revealed to you that there's something wrong with their mental state. How can a person be offended by the truth? When the scripture says, when you understand it, it'll make you free. What is it about the truth that will offend the individual? And what is it about the truth that will make a person free? State of mind of the individual who hears it. I was in a meeting. I wish my brother-in-law was here. He's in Houston to confirm this. I was in a meeting. We're getting ready to, you know, to submit this application. We'll get, you know, funded for a project that we're doing. But I've just been taking my time and submitting the application. We was in this meeting. The individual who came down in this meeting, he was tenacious. I like the guy a lot. We talk on and off, you know, at different times. I really like this guy. I'm not gonna call his name. Y'all say I can. His name's Cornell Wesley. I really like this guy. Very intelligent guy. Very passionate about what he does. I really liked this guy, and I could tell from our meetings that he feels the same way about me. And so, during this meeting, he tore us to pieces. He sat down and listened to our plan that we were getting ready to present. And when he finished, everybody, we told the city of Dallas was there. And obviously I was there. Bill College was there. There were a lot of different people there, other nonprofit organizations, foundations. All these people, we were all sitting at a round table in this meeting. When he opened his mouth and began to share with all of us what's necessary for them to fund what they're very interested in funding, just about everybody, I said just about because I don't know, I was just looking at and picking up the spirit, the minds of the people who were there. I looked around the room as he was talking. Just about everybody was offended. Just about everybody was offended from the things that he said and stuff from me. When he finished talking, everybody was quiet, and I looked at him, I said, first of all, let me say this. I appreciate you saying the things that you did. Why did I say that? You shall understand the truth, and the truth will make you free. I appreciate you saying everything you said, because if you had not said it, and we would have submitted the information that you didn't want from us, we would have been in bondage. So I appreciate everything you said, because it freed me up to think a little bit more, to think in a little bit more detail than what I was thinking. I'm dealing with a level of planning now that if he had not spoke the truth, if he had come in there with this sponge like gloves on and say, I'm going to hit y'all, but I'm just doing it in a way where it doesn't hurt, I wouldn't be the type of individual that I am now, getting things ready for the community like the way that I am. But it took somebody willing to come in and recruit all of us, Eastfield College and everything. Got Eastfield College so offended, he got up, walked out after the meeting, didn't even shake his hand. But the guy told the truth. Truth should never offend those who want to stand right before y'all. Truth, when truth offends, it is a gauge to let us know that something is not right with our mental state of mind. If you tell me the truth and it makes me mad, something's wrong. Now, here's the thing. We all have to make sure we're telling the truth. Now, as I move on here, soon after this encounter, because when I mention him in references, I'm going to just read some of these things to show you Christ's mindset. Matter of fact, we're in John 8 now. We'll skip down to verse 42. Can you imagine if the Savior said this to you? How would you feel if the Savior said this to you in verse 42? Yehoshua said unto them, if Yahweh were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from the Father. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 41, he said, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even Yah. And that's what he said. If Yah was your father, then you would love me. Then he tells me, he said, verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my words. You do not understand my speech because you cannot comprehend or understand my words. Ye are of your father the devil. Can you imagine the Savior calling Christian folk a devil? Then they look at him and say, you know what, I don't like the spirit you carry. Because that's exactly what they said to the Savior. They said he cast out devils by the devil Beelzebub. They were saying that Yehoshua was getting devils out of people by the devil himself. Ain't that something? You have to realize that when you tell the truth, you're not going to please the hearer. Sometimes you're going to offend the hearer, but you still got to say the truth. There's another example now, Acts chapter 6. We'll move to the next chapter, Acts chapter, next book, Acts chapter 6. We're just going to read verse 8 through 10. This is by Stephen. Acts 6, verse 8 through 10, it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. This is going to be the separating line between what is, you know, those who are walking in truth and then those who are not. You know, anybody can open up the Bible and teach a lesson, but y'all don't follow that lesson with miracles and wonders. This is going to be the defining line. It's going to separate the sons of Yah from all others, false prophets and so on. Verse 7 says, the word of Yah increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicilia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. This is one of the things that's going to happen to us in the days that are to come. I experienced it on yesterday. This guy was offended because he couldn't dispute my wisdom and understanding of the scripture. There were not at the time, talking about in reference to yesterday, and there will not be in the future. There will not be anyone who will be able to dispute us in scripture without us being able to operate in the wisdom and understanding of that scripture. There is no place anybody can go in the Bible that I cannot take that topic and go on with. Understand the book from Genesis to Revelation. Every subject matter, every topic that's in there, every facet of understanding how it is, you know, how it is understood from a perspective of the scripture itself. So there was no room, no place he could have gone in order to justify his level of understanding. Mine was greater. Why? Because there is no greater understanding than truth. How can a person trump truth? I'm not talking about Donald Trump either. How can a person trump the truth? What kind of understanding can an individual give if it's not precept upon precept, line upon line, that will make it at a higher understanding than the truth that's precept upon precept, line upon line? It is impossible. Every word he said, every sentence he used, I used the scripture and came about with truth. And the more I came about with truth, the more it revealed his lack of understanding of it. And he constantly got offended to the point that he said, it's not that you're not telling the truth, it's the spirit behind it. Well, what kind of spirit is that? Well, there's only one spirit behind truth. Now, as we continue to deal with this, here's what happened after I left. Now, what I mean by there is one spirit behind truth, that's why I said to you a little bit earlier, I said it's vitally important that we have to make sure we're being led by the Spirit. Some people will take a truth and try to kill you with it, but you have to be led by the Spirit. That's why I said that a little bit earlier. You know, I can know that you got something in your nose, that's the truth, but then I can have the wrong spirit about it and make you feel like, you know, something's wrong with you because you got something in your nose. If you understand what I mean, you know, you just kind of take it out the way you will and run with it. Now, as I left, I'm driving down the road and the Spirit of God said, the Spirit of God said it twice. Said when I first walked out to get in the car, he said, well done. and driving down the road, the Spirit of Yah says again, well done. Now, you may be wondering, okay, wait a minute. Now, why would the Spirit of Yah say to you, well done, when it appears that this individual is offended? Matter of fact, the guy was angry. He just flat out angry to the point where he was looking at me like, I know this is the devil from hell, the way this guy just, the way he dealt with me and the straightforwardness by which I dealt with him and the way that I used the scripture in order to correct everything that he tried to come across in dealing with from a traditional perspective. Yah said, well done. Now, here's the reason why Yah said, well done, and this is what I want you to understand when we get to the close. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start at I really don't like starting at little verses, but I'm going to just do that for the sake of time on the day. Okay. I'll just start at verse 1, but I'm just going to read. Okay, read all the way because I want to get to verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says, but I determined this with myself that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient for such a man is the punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. And I'm not going to expound on this because this is not where I want to be. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Verse 10 said, To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In a nutshell, it's kind of, you know, this is stuff that always to verse 11. It talks about the importance of forgiving people. And he's saying it from the perspective, and I like verse 10 and verse 11. He says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. And colon that lets us know why. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I in the person of Christ. In other words, we don't hold grudges with one another as the children of the Most High because we understand that Christ forgave us. Okay? Christ forgave us, and because of that, we should be willing to forgive. And that's what he's basically saying in a nutshell. And he's saying, like, if we don't, verse 11, he said, lest Satan should have an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, when we hold grudges, it is a device of Satan. Satan don't necessarily mean that it, you know, if the devil himself have a hold on it, it's a device that Satan used. So the word Satan can mean adversary. Satan has an advantage over us. The adversary gets an advantage over us when we don't forgive. Okay? That is the device of the enemy. He likes to cause issues to keep people apart so that his agenda can come to pass and still will be done. So the way that you deal with it is you operate in forgiveness as far as the scripture is concerned, or leading to verse 11 is concerned. Verse 12 says, furthermore, when I came to Troas, to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of Jehovah, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of him, I went from this to Macedonia. Verse 14 now says, Now thanks be unto Yah, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the flavor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now verse 15 is where I want to be. It says, for we are unto Yah a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savior of death, of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Remember I said, Yah said to me, well done. He said to me, well done, and this is the reason why he said it, based upon this verse here. And so, I'll say it in this way. In other words, we have to understand that when we know the truth makes free, make us free. You should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But there's a vital, important key that we have to understand, that truth, based upon the scripture here, does one or two things. It does two things. But it has to be categorized. Okay? But the most important, I'm going to say it this way. It does three things. And I'm just saying that way, for lack of a better way to express it. Truth does three things. First of all, it does something from our perspective to Yah. When we speak the truth, Yah said we are a sweet-smelling fragrance to him. He says we're sweet-smelling fragrance to him. So anytime truth is revealed, so when you hear people say, well, it's the way you said it, what I don't like. That exposes something about the individual. But what Yah says is when truth is revealed, it is a sweet-smelling fragrance to him. He said there's something about the individual who speaks truth that makes Yah say, in a nutshell, this is a breath of fresh air. So please share me with it. So, again, in other words, when we speak the truth in Christ, we are a sweet perfume unto him. Every time we speak truth, it's like spraying. You know, all of us may like cologne or perfume or something like that. Just think of your favorite kind you've ever smelled before, and that just bring you or give you somewhat of an idea of what Yah says truth coming from you is like to his nostrils. Your most favorite fragrance. Yah is saying, when you speak the truth, that's what it's like coming up to my nostrils. You're like a breath of fresh air. You're like a sweet perfume that's an aroma coming up into my nose. He said, that's what you're like. Again, in other words, when we speak the truth in Christ, we are a sweet perfume unto Yah. Now, Yah said, that is what I have to say about you. But then there's something you are to the people that you're speaking the truth to, depending upon who that person is. Now remember, I was quoting scripture to this brother, and because I understood the scripture, I knew who he was based upon me quoting the scripture and what it smelled like to him. See, you have to realize, anytime you tell the truth, it got smell. Every truth you tell has a smell to it, and the individual who's doing the smelling is determining what kind of truth that is making a determination of who they are based upon the truth that you tell. I'm going to say it again. When you tell a truth, to Yah, it is a sweet perfume coming up into his nostrils. But it is dependent upon the individual of who you tell it to, which will determine how it smells to that individual. Y'all understanding that? I'm going to say it one more time. When we tell the truth, it is a sweet perfume to Yah. Truth is always sweet to Yah. But on the other hand, the hearer of that truth also receives that truth, but has a different smell perspective on it. There are people who smell the same fragrance of truth, but it don't smell the same. So I'll say it now. In other words, when we speak the truth in Christ, we are a sweet perfume unto Yah. Whether we are a wonderful smelling aroma of life to the believer. See, when I speak truth to you and you speak truth to me, as believers, it should be life bringing. I don't care what it is. If it's truth, it's truth. And if my heart is right toward Yah, when you tell me the truth or I tell you the truth, then it should bring life. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free if you belong to Yah. On the other hand now, I can tell that same truth to an unbeliever, and the scripture says it's a foul odor to that one. That's how I make a determination on what belongs to Yah or not. When I speak truth, and truth is received, I say that's a child of Yah. When I speak truth and it offends the individual, I say, wait a minute, that's an adversary right there. You can stand behind Jesus all day long, and you can say that I love Yah all day long, but if truth is offensive, then that is the game to let us know that, again, something is wrong with our mental state. So on one hand, the scripture says this again, trying to get through it. I read the verse again, verse 15 and 16 in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Says, for we are unto Yah a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. We smell. Yah says sweet to me, but it also smells to those that are saved and those who are not. Church, you got to realize you smell it. You release an aroma every time you tell the truth. It just depends on who's listening to you. That's why it says it here, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one that perish, to the one we are a savor of death unto death. In other words, a person who's unsaved can't stand to see you coming. They think your smell is foul. Then it goes on and says, and to the other a savor of life unto life. You smelling good is a wonderful fragrance coming from you as you speak the truth. And a believer will hear what you say, and it's like a breath of fresh air. It says, who is sufficient for these things? In other words, when we speak the truth in Christ, we are a sweet perfume unto Yah. When we are a wonderful smelling aroma of life to the believer, or a foul smelling aroma of death to the unbeliever. Now, who has that kind of character? Who is willing to just speak truth, regardless of how it calls a person to receive your aroma. I feel that way. So I ended with this by saying this. The only concern is how I smell to y'all. I'm not concerned about how I smell to you, especially when I'm telling the truth. When I tell the truth, you can think I'm a foul lord. You can hate me. You can not stay. When I'm telling the truth, I can care less about your feelings, as I showed the gal yesterday. When truth is spoken, my only concern is truth. I'm not concerned about you. You shouldn't be concerned about me. When truth is spoken, the main concern should be how is Yah determined in the fragrance by which comes out of my mouth? You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It may not make everybody you come into contact with free, but it sure ought to make you free. So as I get ready to close here, I encourage you to have this mindset from this day forward. Just tell the truth. And if somebody is telling you the truth, as a believer, it shouldn't offend you. Truth is just truth. Again, when I heard Mr. Cornell West say the things that he did, I'll put it this way, he could have said it another way. He could have been more polite about it. He could have been, he could have used a different choice of words. A whole lot of things he could have used. But I'm not responsible for making a determination on how someone tells me the truth. Because my heart is all about truth. So when he spoke it, although it came across a little brash, that was the zeal that he had, and I saw the passion and the love that he had for me. See, that's most of our problem. We think truth that is not done with boxing gloves on in order to make us feel good. We think truth always makes us feel good. And that's what our problem as far as this world is concerned. Truth is always designed to make us feel good. And if it doesn't make me feel good, then there must be something wrong with it. Well, have the spirit of Yah in you enough to know that as long as it's truth coming across, my dear mother used to whoop me. Used to whoop the heck out of me for something that I did wrong. But it was the truth. And although it didn't feel good at the time, it made me the man that I am today. It was part of the process that made me the man that I am today. Why? Truth don't always feel good, but you got to understand that truth is necessary. Whether it come across making you feeling good or it doesn't. Our bottom line should always be truth. And if you understand truth the way that y'all wants us to understand it, it's not going to always come across pleasing. So you got to come to the same conclusion that I've come with. My only concern is how I smell to y'all. When that guy left out of that office, I knew that I didn't smell good to him. He was telling me, man, your spirit is not right. Man, there's no way I'm going to receive what you said because of how you said it, because of how you made me feel. So there's no way in the world that I'm going to receive what you said. I was like, yeah, that's a manifestation of the scripture in you. I'm a foul odor to you because I speak the words of the Most High. I said, brother, the only thing I've done to you the whole time we've been talking is quote the scriptures. But yet, you want to pick how I quote it. So I'm going to tell you. walk with Yah, you're going to offend many. You can't be one of those type of people who are concerned about the feelings of people when you are called to tell the truth. But I don't want to say it that way, because if I say it that way, then they just, you know, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Doggone it, I hurt anybody. I hurt anybody's feelings if it takes that in order to win them for Christ. There are too many people concerned about their reputation. Every preacher want to be a well-known preacher who everybody just loves. When the scripture put it and said they're going to hate you for my name's sake. I tell you the truth. When you tell the truth, there are more that's going to hate you than love you. Because narrow is the way, and narrow is the path that leads to life. The truth be that find it. When you tell the truth, it is going to be less people on your side than it is those who are with you when you tell them lies. So as I get ready to close, I want to make this comment again. Truth shouldn't offend those of the household of faith. We all need to sit down and analyze our life and say, is that the truth? Is what she said to me the truth? Is what he said to me the truth? If it is the truth, then we shouldn't be offended. If we are, then it is the gauge to let us know that something is wrong with our walk with Yah. Truth should never offend you. Truth should always be embraced to cause growth, to cause us to be everything that Yah has called us to be. When it comes down to truth, I don't care how you tell it. Matter of fact, when you tell it to me, when you tell the truth to me and it's kind of a little bit harsh, you know, I'll say, okay now, I understand, I agree, now leave me alone. That's my little version of saying I can. You never hear me say, I don't like the way you say it. When you tell them the truth, I don't like the way you say it. No, when you tell them it's true, I admit it, okay, now leave me alone. I got you. I understand. Now don't drive me either. Don't drag me through the mud. I heard it. I understand it. Comprehend it. But a lot of times, people have said things to me that didn't come across in a nice way. But when I heard the truth, I hung with myself. I said, yeah, you're right. You're telling the truth. Truth always bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of the Most High. The Most High's children always embrace truth. I don't care how they present it, embrace it. All right, any questions or comments? If not, I'm done. Anybody? No good? Somebody had to say. Okay. All right, let's pray, Father Yah. We bless your name on today, and we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the understanding of it. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in all truth. And Father, we declare that when you reveal truth to us, we will work on our own spirits to position ourselves to receive it, regardless of how it is brought to us. Our main goal should be just to know the truth, to understand the truth so they can make us free. We glorify you that in the name of Yahushua we do pray. Amen.